Lake Charles.
Hi, friends, and welcome to Bayou de Beltway. I'm your host, Pearson Cross. Today we are joined by congressional candidate Larry Rader. Mr. Rader was born in New Iberia. He went to Generett Senior High. He went to college, University of Maryland, College Park, returned to UL for psychology, worked offshore, became unemployed. No, excuse me, self-employed.
There you go.
And he then became working in the insurance industry, where he is still today. He's also had some positions. He's past president of the Port of Iberia, and he's headed the Mosquito Abatement District for New Iberia. This is his second run for Congress. He came in third in the last race, Clay Higgins and Scott Angel moving ahead in that race, and he's running again for the third district seat. Welcome to the show, Mr. Rader.
Thank you so much, Dr. Cross. Indeed, it is a pleasure to be here with you this morning. I've been looking forward to this interview here for a while now, so I'm very excited to be here this morning. Thank you.
Well, we're happy to have you. Tell me a bit about your career at this point, and you've decided to run for Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Why? This is your second run for Congress. Tell me about yourself and how what you do and the way you think has impelled you towards this run.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I graduated from high school in 1971, and in 71 I joined the United States Air Force. I'm a Vietnam-era veteran, served at a base called NKP Thailand, which was a secret base at the time, CIA operation into North Vietnam. And from there, I was stationed stateside at Rickenbacker Air Force Base, Columbus, Ohio, decided to make the trek home to the South. And I started working. I have a very colorful career because I've worked in a lot of different areas. Worked for Martin Salt Company for a while. I worked for the Poke Plant for a while. I worked for Carbon Black Plant for a while. I've got a diverse history. And like you said, I ended up attending UL as well as working for a major oil company. For about 8 years, I stayed with a major oil company offshore. And from there, I decided to go into business for myself in the retail business. Currently, I'm an insurance guy in New Iberia and have been so for the last 20-something years, as well as investing in real estate throughout the Acadiana area. Now, you know, I decided to throw my name back into the hat. Like you said, I ran against Scott Angel and Clay Higgins during that last race. And we came out third in that race. We didn't do too bad. We're doing some things different. We hope to at least make the runoff this time. And, you know, there's so much happening, Dr. Cross, in the nation that even from the last time I ran, if individuals are familiar with my platform, basically I have the same platform I had 2 years ago. So some of those things that we're probably going to discuss as we move forward still need to be done, and they're not being done. And so that was one of the primary reasons why I threw my hat in the ring, so to speak.
Thank you. What would you describe as your philosophy of government? More government, less government? Is there a kind of an animating principle that you think about when it comes to government and how it affects mm-hmm. citizens?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because just the other day I was doing a speech for a company, and the guy that invited me made a statement. He said, "Hey, look, I don't believe in government being in my room, in my home." I said, "Well, you know, that's you sort of have a problem there." I said, "You know, you have to understand a lot of people that are interested in not having government as a part of what we do every day. First of all, we are the government. And second of all, we need the government in order to provide, especially businesses, with the resources they need in order to be strong, secure, and provide the jobs that we need." So I think there's a point where government does have some overreach. But we are the government. The government is not some dark entity standing in a corner doing things to us. So from that perspective, you know, I'm sort of in the middle there as a business person. I don't want the government over-regulating me, but I don't want them to under-regulate me as well.
Is there a particular area that you feel particularly about, you know, you feel passionate about in terms of some things that maybe government's doing right now? Most people, like, run for government, mm-hmm. you know, run for office because they want to mm-hmm. fix something or attack a particular
Correct.
Issue.
Correct.
So I'm curious.
Absolutely, yes. I do have a pet peeve when it comes to some things that I think government needs to do. When I, especially within the 3rd Congressional District, when I look at some things that are happening in the 3rd Congressional District, when I walk door-to-door within this district, a lot of people are not doing well. Now, I know Lake Charles is doing extremely well. Those individuals there in Lake Charles, the economy there is totally different. But when you start off in Morgan City, and by the way, this district runs from Morgan City all the way to Opelousas, and then if you go north, it'll go to Henderson, east to Henderson, and then west, it goes all the way towards the Texas line and everything in between. So those little small communities, Baldwin, Franklin, Generette, New Iberia, Abbeville, St. Martinville, those little small communities are really, really struggling right now. Individuals within those communities are struggling. Naturally, the tax base is not there. So when I look at it from a business standpoint, one of the things I think that we need to do is diversify our economy. I think it's imperative that we diversify our economy. Now, bear in mind, Dr. Cross, I have an oil industry background. I work for a major oil industry, so I understand the importance of fossil fuels and the role it plays within our economy. There are some good jobs out there in that area. However, I'm a green guy. I'm a clean energy guy. I really do believe that that is going to be the future. I would like to see Louisiana, especially the 3rd Congressional District, lean forward into clean energy. We've got 3 universities within this district. I would like to see them come together and maybe form some special committees to look at what can we do in the 3rd Congressional District to assure that green energy is something that Louisiana stands for, which will be the future, I think, in the 21st century.
That's really going to be a tough thing sure. to do, right, because this area has been so oil and gas dependent.
Absolutely.
But, some people have said that green energy potentially has as many jobs for it as oil and gas, just depending. It's a matter of investing in it. How would you get people to go and to believe in green energy and not see it as a threat? Because a lot of people, when they hear green energy, they think, oh, they're going to take away jobs from our
Correct.
Part of the country and transfer them somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a transformation. And I think America, individuals that citizens that live here in this country, are familiar with a transformation. It happens all the time. When soda first came out, it came out in a glass bottle. And it made a transformation into a can. And from there, it went to a plastic bottle. So transformation is what we're all about. There is a company out of Baton Rouge that purchased, I think, somewhere about 50 acres of land. And currently what they're doing with that 50 acres of land, they are placing solar panels in Baton Rouge area, in the Baton Rouge area. So they're going to produce electricity through solar panels, and then they're going to sell it to people like you and I. So why should we pay for something that comes from the heavens? It's free. So why are we paying for it? So I think if we had solar panels on top of our homes, especially let's start off with our elderly people, because a lot of those individuals have to make a choice between buying food, buying medicine, and paying their light bills. If we could start off with the elderly, start off with them and give them a helping hand, give them a hand up, and I really do believe economically it would have a domino effect throughout our economy, because those dollars that they're saving, they're going to spend those dollars. They're not going to take it and put it in a bank. They're going to spend those dollars in our grocery stores and in other places to help stimulate the economy. So I think that transformation, we can have both. We don't have to just have one. Fossil fuels is going to be here for a very, very long time. But I really do believe that is the future. And some of these big companies are heading in that direction anyway.
Yeah. One of the things that you said struck me, and that is that the small communities around here maybe are not doing so well. So Correct. Lake Charles is kind of booming right now because of that natural gas liquefaction and all the Correct. Companies coming in. But the Morgan Cities, the Hendersons, the so on, and that seems to be the way it is nationwide. The areas that are doing pretty well, are continuing to do well and do better right mm-hmm. now, whereas mm-hmm. Communities are continuing to fall behind if they're not really in a forward-moving area.
Correct.
So I'm curious, you're from New Iberia. How's New mm-hmm. Iberia doing?
Well, you know, the port is an economic stimulator for the area of Iberia Parish. And as a current commissioner for the Port of Iberia, I sort of have a window, a view of what's going to take place with the oil industry in the future, especially with the Gulf of Mexico. You know, we've been trying for the last 20-something years to obtain a deep water channel at the Port of Iberia. Now, we've got our problems in actually having this to happen, and that's why it has not happened, because we have to obtain a certain guidelines through the Army Corps of Engineers in order to pay for it. Some type of way we've got to be able to pay for that channel that we're thinking about digging out. And right now it's just not feasible. But when you look at the Gulf of Mexico and you look at the amount of drilling that's taking place, it's not taking place in the Gulf of Mexico. It's taking place more towards the west of Texas. So because we're so oil-based, that's why diversifying our economy will really help those individuals. Even when it comes to the smaller communities with their increasing their tax base, you know, a lot of people think, well, if I diversify and I go with green energy, you know, we're going to lose jobs. We're not going to lose jobs that we've already lost. The thing is every time the oil industry goes down, it never comes back up to where it once was. And the reason it doesn't come back up to where it once was is because of technology. Technology is replacing those jobs that people once held. So we have to prepare ourselves, we have to educate ourselves, and we have to be willing to change. We have to be willing to do what these companies are requiring us to do.
You know, this is I was thinking, you were thinking about a channel to New Iberia, deepening
Correct.
The channel and so
mm-hmm.
on. And I was just thinking, wow, I wonder. Now, that sounds good in terms of economic development, but
Correct.
I wonder if that would also, you know, with climate change and Gulf saltwater mm-hmm. intrusion, I'm wondering if that's mm-hmm. creating another way for this area to be inundated. Now, so with that in mind and mm-hmm. your focus on green energy, I'm just curious what your status is on climate change, protecting coast, and all those kinds of things.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, well, I believe you as a citizen and myself, and as well as the listening audience, we deserve to have clean air and clean water. Those are some primary things we should have. We are spending, as an insurance guy, I know we are spending tons of dollars on flood insurance. I know that. And those areas are changing, and it's changing because of our environment, because of global warming, because our sea levels are rising. We can combat that if we back away from fossil fuels, because that's what's creating most of it. So green energy, clean energy, is going to create a very wholesome environment that's more people-friendly, maybe not as business-friendly as fossil fuels, but more people-friendly. You know, Dr. Cross, I even thought of at one time maybe a carbon tax would be beneficial to us here in southwest Louisiana. Only here in Louisiana, a carbon tax to help pay maybe for to replace some of the landmass that Louisiana has lost, to stop some of the saltwater intrusion that's coming in. That's why our sea levels are actually moving inward more than anything else, because we've lost so much of our coastlines. So, you know, and there's a lot of plans. I think Louisiana has a master plan. But just remember this, you know, plans are great, but we have to pay for these plans.
We got to pay for those plans. We are talking today with Larry Rader, who is running for the 3rd District Congressional seat. We're going to talk some more when we come back after these messages.
The world feels like it's getting bigger all the time. There are daily developments on major stories around the world and more great music than at any other time. Staying current isn't always easy. But when you listen to KRVS, you hear about people, places, and ideas that matter to you, and you discover great music every day. Your support of KRVS makes that all possible. Please make your contribution today, online or mobile at krvs.org, and thank you.
I want to see you at high noon. Noontime, Thursdays on KRVS 88.7. For rock, roll, rhythm, it's old gold on KRVS. An hour on Thursdays at noontime. Isley Kleinpeter with an invite to join me Thursdays at noon on KRVS 88.7 for Fats Domino, Chuck Berry, Elvis, Carl Perkins, even Dolly Parton.
Hello, and welcome back to Bayou de Beltway. I'm talking today with Larry Rader, who is the 3rd District Congressional candidate. He has run before. He came in 3rd last time around, and he's ready to go again. So we were talking about the issue of green energy, of coastal restoration, and those kinds of things. Has the federal government done enough to protect Louisiana's coast, in your opinion?
No, I don't think they have. I think, I think there's a lot of things that we can do. Listen, our coastline has been decimated mostly because of fossil fuels. I mean, I want to be totally honest with you. I really do believe that some of the work that was done in order for the oil industry to get to areas they needed within Louisiana, the dredging and creating of channels and canals, all of those things play a factor in water intrusion and the loss of our coastline. So to some degree, I think, industry is responsible for it. But to a large degree, I also believe that those permits were passed out. They were given to these companies. So to some degree, as citizens, we are responsible as well. We're the ones that's living here. And when those industries decide to leave and go somewhere else, we're still going to be here. So it's left up to us to decide what direction do we want Louisiana to go in? What type of environment do we want to live in? Do we want to live in an environment when a storm comes in that we always have to leave? Or do we want to live in an environment where we are capable of withstanding those storms as they come through? Matter of fact, we've got one heading this way now. And, I think the surge is going to be huge. That's not the wind, but the surge. And so we'll get a taste of what it's like once again to go through a surge from a storm.
So let's move on to our current representative, Clay Higgins. Mm-hmm. Now, as I understand it, at some point in the last time around, when it was down to Scott Angel and Clay Higgins, that you actually endorsed Clay Higgins. So maybe you could talk about that. Mm-hmm. And but then obviously you're running again, so you must not be entirely in Clay Higgins' camp. So tell me about that.
Yeah, well, I met Clay on the campaign trail, and he and I developed a friendship, so to speak. Clay was toting the Bible with him, and I sort of thought at the time that he represented change. He was someone that was new, and I didn't particularly agree with everything that Scott was saying, some of the words he used I didn't agree with. And so I thought Clay was the only other choice. So I endorsed Clay under the impression that he would do well for Southwest Louisiana. And I'm sure a lot of your listening audience, they voted for him as well. When you look at a person, including myself, and you can't tell really what's in a person's heart until you give them an opportunity to show you what's in their heart. And so I gave Clay that opportunity, and I must say that I'm not completely happy with what he believes in. And I know what I believe in, and like I said, those individuals that's familiar with me will know that my platform has not changed. I am more, I guess, wanting to help those individuals that are poor, those individuals that are elderly, and those individuals that just want a hand up, not a handout, but a hand up. So from that perspective, Clay and I are totally different. And I'll give you one example is the recent tax break that was passed to the 1% at the top. I don't agree with that because I don't agree with the philosophy that economics will trickle down, the money will trickle down to those individuals at the bottom. I haven't seen that from this recent tax break. I haven't seen dismantling of the Affordable Health Care Act, which is something that he supported. I haven't seen that as something positive for the 3rd Congressional District. Now, the Affordable Health Care Act did have problems. It did, because I know myself personally, I was paying close as a single guy, I was paying close to $1,200 a month for health insurance, and that was too much. But I also don't believe what the far left and what the far left is trying to do, which is something that was instrumental by Bernie Sanders, which is Medicare for All. I don't believe in that. I think that I compare that to jumping off of a cliff. I don't think we should do that right now. I think we should, from an insurance standpoint, You know, when I look at our health problems that we have here in America, and bear in mind we're the only industrialized nation in the world that does not have a major health insurance plan for its citizens. So, but when you look at health costs and how expensive it is, we have to do something. We cannot maintain what we're doing now. It's not going to work, especially for the poor and the elderly. It's not going to work for them. You know, as an insurance guy, I know when you turn to age 50, insurance companies are going to look at you at age 50 because your risk pool changes at that age because you're more prone to have ailments. You're more prone to utilize your insurance. So your rates jump up. So currently, Medicare is a plan that was allowed to be flexible. You could move it around. You could change it. And so what I would propose, if I would become the congressman for the 3rd Congressional District, one of the bills I would write would be to allow individuals at age 50 to join Medicare at age 50. And that way you have this pool sitting over here, age 50 and below. That pool that's sitting over here is going to clean up because we're going to take the badness out of that pool. So your insurance will probably stabilize or it may even go down. But those are some of the things I think we can do to from a different perspective that maybe you haven't heard of. Now, I've kicked this around to doctors. I've kicked it around to surgeons. And they all like it because the insurance companies are going to enjoy it because they're still there. They're still able to sell a product, you know, from those that are from 0 to 50. And then the elderly, those 50 and above, they're going to like it because their insurance is going to go down. Now, here's the good thing, and just like with Obamacare or the Affordable Health Care Act, you won't have to join it. You're not forced to join it. But the numbers alone will make you think, hey, you know what, this is something I should do because economically it's feasible for me to do it.
Well, that would be a huge boon to many businesses who are, you know, people are hanging in there and trying to keep their employee-based insurance, you know,
correct.
So they work longer. So it creates some distortions because mm-hmm. We all know people who are working just because of the insurance,
absolutely.
Right, and staying in places and being uncomfortable. I like that idea actually a lot, and as I understand it from your idea, the age under 50 pool would then be much healthier, so costs
healthier.
For those people would be much lower. Mm-hmm. And then Medicare. So it's not Medicare for all. It's Medicare for an expanded number of people.
Absolutely.
Now, the things that you mentioned, focusing on Affordable Care Act, you know, helping the poor, the elderly, you know, hand up and so on, these are kind of classic Democratic issues. These are issues that have been pushed by Democrats. But this district has in recent years elected Republicans. You are currently a Democrat.
Correct. I'm a Democrat.
And so do you have a chance in this district? I mean, is it time for a change, or how do you feel about that?
I tell you, listen, I was walking in Walmart the other day, and I passed an elderly lady up, and normally I pass my card out whenever I'm passing near someone. I give them a little small business card and ask them for their support and their vote. But for some reason or other, I passed her up, and then I thought about it, and I said, you know, I'm going to go back. So I went back, and I said, ma'am, I said, are you a voter? And she says, yes, I am. I said, well, listen, I'm Larry Rader. I'm running for Congress. Please consider me when you go to the polls November the 6th. Early voting is the 23rd through the 30th of October, and you just get one day on November the 6th, so try to vote early if you're going to vote for me. But nonetheless, we were talking, and she brought out the fact that she said, you know, she said, if you get to Congress, I could tell you something you need to work on. I said, what is that? She said, well, she said, when I first, my husband and I, we don't go very many places, and we're mostly to ourselves. She said, I'm from the St. Martinville area. She was shopping in Walmart in New Iberia. But she said, when we joined Medicare, we did not sign up for Plan D. Now, if you know Plan D is prescription drugs. So she said, you know, the penalties for not signing up is so huge, I didn't realize every month I would be paying that penalty. So, you know, there are some people that are struggling and suffering right now, and I think I have a very good chance with those individuals, and I think those individuals outnumber that 1% at the top. I think we stand a good chance of winning.
So now my guess is that Clay Higgins is going to align himself. He's the incumbent. He's going to align himself with Donald Trump. in this area. Do you think that's a good strategy? Is that a strategy you're going to work with? Are you going to align yourself with Donald Trump?
No, absolutely not. I'm not going to align myself with anyone, to be quite frank with you. I'm going to align myself with the voters for the 3rd Congressional District and what's best for them.
There's been some controversy about Representative Higgins' personal style, the motorcycle, the gun, the Bible, the cowboy hat, the kind of that appeal. That's not you, right? I sense that you're a little more buttoned down.
No. I would consider myself a blue dog Democrat. I don't look at I'm willing to work across the aisle. Okay, I'm willing to work with you regardless. To if you've got a good idea, Dr. Cross, and it's good
rarely,
for
rarely, but
yeah,
go
well,
ahead.
I mean, well, you had a good idea by bringing me here.
Oh,
today,
there you
so that's
go.
A good
okay,
idea.
Once in a while.
Okay, so if you've got a great idea and it's beneficial to the 3rd Congressional District, I'm with you all the way. And, I mean, the party thing, you know, it's great. The party thing is great, but I don't necessarily follow my own party. So I don't want to be placed in a box where I have to do this because I'm a business person also, you know, and I'm still thinking about this recent tax break and how it's going to play out for all of us. So I'm still thinking on that.
Yeah, the tax break. You know, the tax break was celebrated by Republicans in Congress, but the polls suggest that the American people are not overall that taken with it.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Its benefits have been a little concentrated. And some of the rebound that they thought were going to happen economically in turn went in a different direction.
It went in a different direction, So
people don't hold Congress in very high repute. Have you ever wonder about why you want to join a body that – I think last I heard 8-12% of people thought highly of Congress as an institution?
Yeah. Well, I think it's because of not being able to work. I think the two parties are fighting each other. You know, the sheer fact that I endorse Clay Higgins, I think, from an individual standpoint, says a lot about me, positively. Being president for the Port of Iberia, past president, that says a lot about me as an individual and that I'm willing to work in order to make sure my community is doing what it needs to do in order to live a wholesome life, to live that American dream. So, like I said, I'm willing to work with whoever, wherever, however, as long as we can move the 3rd Congressional District forward. And I really do believe because of the history, because of my colorful work history, that I'm that guy. I really do believe that. And, you know, Congress is 2 years. The Senate is 6. But you can find out a lot about an individual in 2 years. Promises are made and promises are broken. But you get an opportunity to come back 2 years and correct it. And that's where we are today.
Amazing. So what are the principal reasons you think people should support your candidacy?
Well, for all of the above. I mean, this whole conversation that we've been talking about, working with people, doing things for people, trying to bring back economic prosperity into the 3rd Congressional District. I think those items alone, you know, I'm not saying I'd be able, Dr. Cross, to do all of those things in 2 years. But, heck, if I do one thing, if I go to Congress and do one thing and it's positive, it's going to benefit us, especially for health care and especially for working with the elderly. And then there's some other things that's out there. Naturally, I'll be voting on other issues that's beneficial to the 3rd Congressional District. But we need to work to make sure that our environment is clean, is safe. We need to make sure that we have jobs, and we need to make sure that we're not losing our populations to other states simply because we don't have the opportunities here in Louisiana. So those are some of the things that I want to work on, and I think if given that opportunity, I think I'll do well and I'll fare well with it.
Well, we're coming to the end of our program. What's the most surprising thing about running for Congress in 15 seconds?
Well, I tell you, the most surprising things are the things people will tell you when you're on a campaign trail. That's the most surprising things. And the acceptance that I get while I'm on a campaign trail.
That's great.
It's changed from the last 2 years.
Interesting. We have been talking today with congressional candidate Larry Rader, who's running for that 3rd district seat. Good luck, Mr. Rader.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Bayou to Beltway is copyrighted by KRVS for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without written consent of KRVS is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of KRVS, its officers, or members. To listen to a podcast of the interview we just heard, go to krvs.org.
I'm Lisa Mullins. PRI's The World brings you more than just the day's news.
In Cameroon, we have 260 languages.
We introduce you to people around the globe.
For a country like Iran, where you cannot really mingle with people outside your house.
It is giving hope to Turkish people.
There's one Chinese saying, everyone wants to be a rich guy, right?
Join us and hear The World.
Monday through Thursday afternoon at 2 here on KRVS.
This is KRVS 88.7 FM.